scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, in left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla, the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by all Aguilla. Rebound, another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg.
All right, let's get it going. We are underway on this Friday, April 18th. It's Good Friday 2025. Thanks for hanging out with us on your holiday weekend, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. It's Steinberg with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit Calgary Lock and Safe. .com. It's a Friday, which means for the next hour, it is our pleasure to also say hello to Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. It's time for the Eric Francis Hour on this Good Friday. Hello, Mr. Francis. How are we doing?
How are you, my friend? How did you enjoy your time in Los Angeles?
It was actually, I'll be honest with you, man, like, it was pretty cool to be a part of that. I mean, obviously, it would have been better if the Flames were playing a win-and-in game against the Kings, and then they were jetting off to Winnipeg to play the Jets, and that would have been a very neat thing as well. But the fact that Zane Parekh and Hunter Bristevich and Idar Suniev and Sam Morton all made their NHL debuts, first time ever four players debuted in the same game, first time in Flames history that two teammates scored in both of their debuts. It was just the buzz around that place, and you know, being around the team that day, instead of the downcast, kind of going through the motions, game 82 that you usually see, I thought it was I thought it was neat to see, and it was cool to be a part of. So it was fun, man, and glad to be back and glad to be talking to you.
Hey, listen, I know you're a humble guy and you probably don't want me to connect the obvious dots, but everybody who was watching on TV last night saw Jessica Alba in the stands, and you make your first trip of the year sort of thing to LA. Like, everybody's putting two and two together, and the rumors are out there that you and Jessica Alba are a thing. Confirm or deny?
I don't. You're gonna have to talk to my people, please. I can't confirm nor deny. I won't comment on people's personal lives.
Do it.
Well, please
Do
get
it.
In touch with my people. Yeah, I almost fell out of my chair. I was hoping to see Will Ferrell on the big screen. So all of a sudden I look up, and like all of a sudden the crowd's starting to cheer, and I look up, I'm like, that person looks like Jessica. And then Jessica Alba, I'm like, holy cow. Like, you know, as a boy, that is one of like your boyhood crushes. And you're just like, oh my gosh, I'm in the same building as Jessica Alba. That was quite the starstruck moment. I didn't get within 7,000 meters of her, but it was cool still that was there. But yeah, please talk to my people, and no more personal inquiries, please.
No, I get it. You're fighting and everything, but you know, I don't think I've ever been to LA. I mean, obviously it's LA. They play that card. They should play that card. They should make sure that every single game there are three or four people on the Jumbotron that are recognizable, and Will Ferrell, you're right, is usually one of them. You probably weren't, like, no one was expecting Jessica Alba, but on any given night, you don't know who it's going to be because it's L.A., and that's where the stars come out. It's pretty good night, and I thought it was kind of cool. I don't remember if it was Parekh or Bristevich who said during the intermission that, man, like, this is all pretty cool, making our debut, and hey, we're in L.A. There's a pretty cool barn. And I'm making my debut, you know, at crypto.com. Like, it doesn't get much better than that. So, yeah, all of it together was pretty cool. And, you know, I was just sitting with some friends and having a chat about last night's game. And, like, that put a smile on everybody's face in this city. It really cushioned the blow from the disappointment of a couple nights earlier. And it really just, me, tied a real bow on what I think was an incredibly successful season for the Calgary Flames. Just to finish it that way was just symbolic of the positive direction everything seems to be moving, in my opinion. I don't know. I just, that you couldn't watch that and be a cynic and go, what's the big deal? Like, who cares? Some of them might not even play in the league that much, you know. Well, okay, don't say that. I haven't heard anyone say that. Everybody was embracing it and loving it.
Yeah, I hope I'm not speaking out of school, but you know, I was texting back and forth with just because I was helping Danny Austin with a little audio post game as well, and so was just texting back and forth with Danny Austin at Post Media. He kind of said the same thing, like, you're cynical about this game tonight. Like, what are you doing? This is fun, and is you're both so right. Like, that's look. I know it sucks they missed the playoffs, and I know it sucks that 96 points didn't get them in. I know it's very flamesy thing for them to be the highest, tied for the highest point total ever to miss the playoffs. Like, I get all that, and I understand a lot of the cynicism. I really do, and we'll talk about that later on this hour and whether this was a successful or unsuccessful season, so on and so forth. But I think there was so much excitement. I just thought it was so cool to see, like, that shot that they showed on the Sportsnet West telecast of Nazem Kadri and Morgan Frost and some of the other veterans waving at the four guys going out, and just to see them on game day and to see how pumped Michael Backlund and Nazem Kadri and Blake Coleman and Mackenzie Weegar and Ryan Lomberg were for these guys to make their debuts and how out of their way the veterans on this team went to be like, no, we're not just going to go through the motions. We want to just go through the motions. We want to just get this over with. How many of those veterans with what happened on Tuesday night wanted to be on that plane Wednesday morning? 0% of them. None of them wanted to be on that plane. They wanted the season to be over. They're going to play a meaningless game 82 in Los Angeles. They got to take the trip. Like, it's like, they wanted the season to be over then as they should have. But instead, they flipped the switch and said, we've got to make this a big deal for four guys making their NHL debuts. We've got to be enthusiastic. We've got to go through this as if it is a meaningful game. We've got to be hyped. And I thought that was so indicative of what this season has been all about and how the veterans have embraced a new direction at the same time as Craig Conroy has actively worked to make this team younger. And I thought it was a perfect way to wrap up the season and put a bow on it with the veterans embracing the moment for the young guys and making it that much more special for them making their debuts. It was cool to witness, man.
It was, and again, I agree. It is symbolic that, you know, it's kind of like that third period in their last home game. They didn't. Who would think that you would summon up the motivation to come back in a game that you just absolutely had your teeth kicked in by another unlucky bounce from those other teams that just wouldn't give you a break, and you're eliminated from the playoffs. You're down 3-1 against a team that I think is going to win the Stanley Cup. And granted, they were missing five players. I get it. But that's a juggernaut over there. And they still came out and did that. Like, I love the fact that they started. Now, Coronado's not a veteran, but he's an established NHL. I love that they started Backlund and Coleman last night, because I think it was another symbolic way to start the game to say, hey, we could start Suniav. We could start, you know, we could start all the kids, really. We could start any number of them. And that would be special. And a lot of coaches do that in different cities, and I get it. I think it's smart. But on that night, they said, we're going to start the guys who we know who can go out and set the tone and show these guys from the very first shift, this is how you have to play in the National Hockey League. This is the work ethic that's required. This is the, you know, this is the way it's done. And that first shift kind of set the tone, and those guys followed. I just thought it was really cool.
Well, we got to talk about Zane, right? Like, what a debut for number 89. Scores a goal, showed us a lot of good, and I thought the good vastly outweighed the bad in Zane Parekh's debut. I thought he showed that impressive skill set can translate. Like, we're still talking about a Kings team that had Fiala and Byfield and Kopitar and Doughty playing. Like, that wasn't like a super thin lineup for LA. They did have a few guys out because they're getting ready for game one against Edmonton, but like, there were still some good players, and yeah, they were probably going at 80% instead of 100% because the game didn't mean anything, but still, like, you're out there against some pretty good players. I was quite impressed, and not surprised, but just like, encouraged by how much Zane Parekh and what he's able to do was able to translate to an NHL game. Yes, you can tell me all you want. We all know it's a small sample size, but it doesn't mean that wasn't an encouraging night for him.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I think, look, he left here with his tail between his legs last year and admitted that he was humbled and he had a lot of growing to do. And, you know, he says he's done the work. We certainly saw how well he played after going back to junior. And it was just incredibly important, I think, for him and the organization for him to get off on the right foot. And, you know, the goal, to me, it wasn't just that he scored a goal. It was how he scored the goal. You know, that play, the instincts that he showed, especially in his NHL debut, to make that pass to Backlund, and, you know, I don't know if people are envisioning the play. I'm not going to be able to describe it very well. You're the color commentator now. You could probably. But, you know, he takes the puck, gives it to Backlund at the top of the circle, and then immediately races towards the net. Like, how many defensemen do that 10 years into their career, let alone a guy who's 10 minutes into his career, 20 minutes, whatever it was? And the hand-eye to redirect it like that. I didn't see it coming. I did see a lot of moments where I'm like, yeah, if you're going to play this kid, you need to play him with Kevin Ball.
Yeah,
I think that's absolutely a must on day one. I'm already preaching that because I think he's going to be an adventure on a lot of nights. And over time, he'll figure it out. But I do think adventure doesn't necessarily mean – it's not necessarily a bad thing. It can mean just, you know, he's all about offense. He's going to press for it. That's exciting. This team needs it moving forward. It's going to come at the cost of some goals and some interesting plays that Kevin Ball's going to have to try and cover up for. But, man, he's got an active stick. He's a sublime skater. His IQ, you can see that first pass out of the zone is right on the tape every time. I get it. I get how he was so successful in junior. We saw the raw skill in Penticton, you and I, but, you know, he needed to get his head into it. And I think his head was into it last night. And I love that he did it with a smile. I love that he was chuckling, laughing along the way. That's the night you're supposed to enjoy. All the ones from now on might not be quite as fun, but then it'll be time to really dig in.
You know, and I kind of, because I think that my anticipation anyway, I feel like you're on the same page. Like, my anticipation is he's in the NHL next year. And I think he is so bad and so clearly not ready in training camp next year, I think if he is ready-ish, they'll put him in the NHL. And they'll let next year be a develop in the NHL year. And you know, would you rather have the American League be an option? Sure. I got a couple questions even last hour asking about would they send him to Europe. No. You want to have your people have – this is your top prospect. This is the best prospect in a decade. You're not going to send them to Europe because you want them close. You want your development crew with them. You want your coaches with them. You want your strength and conditioning guys with him. You want your medical staff with him. You don't want to chance that to a team in Europe. So, yeah, I think – unless training camp is so clearly bad that it's beyond a shadow of a doubt that he has to go back to the Ontario League – I'm like 95% Zane starts in the NHL next year, Francis.
I think he could be worse than this year in camp and still make the big team coming out of the – I really do. I mean, there's no chance that they're putting him back in junior. Zero. Zilch.
The only thing that I could see is if they send him back midway through, similar to what they did with Dreisaitl in Edmonton in his rookie season. He blew through the 10 games. He burned a year of his ELC, but they sent him back in time so that he did not accrue a year of unrestricted free agency, like a credit towards him becoming UFA. I could see them doing that. I could see them potentially sending, if it isn't working and you're starting to scratch him and you're feeling like maybe the toll of an 82 game season is really starting to catch up, and there's no guarantee this would even happen, Eric, but if that were to happen like it did with Leon in his first year in the NHL, you know, then you send him back and see if you can handpick a spot. Like, the Oilers knew that Dreisaitl was going to go to a Kelowna team that was en route to, you know, challenge for a Western League title and the Memorial Cup. So they sent him back there like, okay, that's a pretty good place for Leon to go, and he'll be ready to be a full-timer next year. And you know what? He was, and he was pretty damn good that next year. So I could see that, but I'm with you. Like, I don't think there's really much of a chance at all at this point that he starts the year in the OHL.
No, and especially after what we saw last night. There'll be lots of adventures. He pinched a lot last night in a 1-0 game, which I think is highly inadvisable. But again, hey, I'm not going to, get into the X's and O's and pretend I'm an expert on that. I just see a guy who knows what he is and will be that player, and his defensive partner and teammates are going to have to adjust. Like, there was this interesting moment to me where him and Suniev were on the ice together. Perek made a very inadvisable pinch, in my opinion, especially in a game you're clinging to a 1-0 lead with late in the second. And who's the guy who
That's
was
right.
covering for him?
Yeah.
You remember that moment?
Yep.
Suniev was the first guy back, and him and Ball are skating backwards and defuse the play. I love it. Like, that's that. You're going to have to adjust a little bit around him, and he's going to have to adjust too. So, no, the kid is.
It's pretty special,
unique, right? That is special and unique, and how exciting to have a player like that. Like, I think people, in Montreal this year watched Lane Hutson and just couldn't believe how exciting it was to watch him. Look, people in Calgary did it with Dustin Wolf this year. He was all the talk this year. Nobody talked more about anything in Calgary than Dustin Wolf this year, and rightly so. It's pretty exciting when you have a franchise player, and on top of that, he's a goalie. But, like, what I saw in Montreal the other night with Demidov is what I would equate to what we just witnessed with Perek. Like, it was a very similar debut, too. Both kids came out. Both cities are absolutely on fire. Can't believe it's finally here. Our Christmas present has arrived early. We get to watch this person play. And in both cases, they go and score a goal in their debut. It's just pretty magical. And I think we may look back at this in 10 years and go, that's the stuff legends are built around. Kids making their NHL debut, scoring in their first game. Yeah, well, no surprise, right? That's now he's a Norris Trophy candidate. I don't know. Who knows where it goes, but so far so good.
I want to read you this. This is courtesy of Mark Pearson. He does television sports in Saginaw, and he was obviously watching the ESPN telecast. That was a coast-to-coast telecast on Thursday night in L.A., for the debuts of the four players. And this was Mark Messier does intermissions at ESPN for their NHL coverage. And this was what Mark Messier had to say about Zane Perek after 20 minutes of watching him. Quote, beautiful skater. Some players just have the it factor. I couldn't take my eyes off of him. Keep an eye out for him. Wow, what a player. How's that for there's Mess, there's a Hall of Famer, there's one of the greatest to ever do it, analyzing and saying that about a Flames prospect. Like, that's pretty cool to see, isn't it?
And you and I had this, we're not messy, but when we saw him in Penticton, that's the first thing that absolutely sticks out. The skating is silky smooth. Like, it's like Cale Makar, the edge work, just the ease in which he strides and turns and pivots, and that's his calling card. That, and you combine that with his playmaking and his IQ and all that, and you got obviously someone who's pretty special, and you got a Hall of Famer like Messier who saw him once and said something similar. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Which obviously means that you think they should have played him in meaningful games, right? You've done a mea culpa on that.
Still one of the most nonsensical arguments I've ever heard in Calgary. The fact that all those games that he didn't play in, the Flames won. So, is there still anyone who still thinks he should have made his debut? I don't know. Anyway, we're not going back there.
I just wanted to tee you up for that. It's my favorite thing.
Oh, it'll be crazy.
What else is, like, also Sam Morton scores the game-winning goal. Cool to see him. What I really liked about what the Flames did on Thursday, so they put Parekh on the top pair with Ball. I'm with you. I think Parekh Ball is a pairing that feels like a potential long-term pair, like 10 years of them playing together. I think that's a really good stylistic fit. They put Suniev with Kadri and Klapka. They put Brustevich in more. I think Brustevich probably profiles more as a 4-5-6 defenseman at 5-on-5 with power play upside as opposed to being a top pair guy. So they put Brustevich on the third pair, and Sam Morton profiles as a number 3 or a number 4 center if he makes the NHL. And what was he doing? He was centering the fourth line with Hunt and Lomberg. And so they put all the guys in spots that fit them, which I thought was really good to see, and they evaluated them based on where they might project or what their skill sets are most suited to. And I thought all three of the other guys held their own. It was cool to see Morton score that goal and the reaction from his family and seeing how fired up the Flames were with both Morton and Parekh scoring. What'd you make of the other three debuts on Thursday night?
As the Morton goal was evolving and they came across the line on a 3-on-2, I knew that they were going to get it to him, right? Like you know, these guys are all about just trying to help this kid on their line get his first goal. Like I'm not sure that was the smartest pass by Lomberg to him in the middle. Like you know what I mean? Like, I'm not criticizing it. Yeah. I'm just saying, to me, it was as soon as I saw the sauce go from Hunt, and boy, did Hunt have a great game last night. My God.
How about that? Hey, great game. Now you're on waivers.
Yeah. Hunt, I was thinking about it. I'm like, so Hunt had a phenomenal game, his best as a Flame, if you ask me. Vladar was spectacular. And I'm wondering, both those guys probably gone next year.
I think they'll re-sign Hunt. He's a good depth guy.
I hope so. I think so, especially for depth and everything in the market and the versatility. And he's comfortable. So, yeah, I hope I'm wrong. And I hope I'm wrong on both fronts. But there's a very real possibility that they're not here. But they, that sauce went over. It was a beautiful pass. And then Lomberg didn't even think twice. He's like, I got to get to this kid.
Yep.
And it was this bang, bang, and the pure joy and emotion of his celebration and those of his family members. Like, again, how could, even if you were an LA Kings fan, how could you deny how wonderful that is when a guy scores that goal? And of course, one of the Kings gets his first NHL goal. I checked with NHL stats. That's happened 4 times before, that 3 guys in the same game, combining the two teams. 4 times that's happened where three guys have all scored in their NHL debut in the same game. But all the other 4 games, and they go back many, many years, they're all in October, October 9th, October 10th, because it's the start of the year, right? It's the first game of the year. You're more apt to make that happen in the first game of the year than you are in the last game of the year, although a lot of teams start to play their young guys in the last game now. But anyway, great for Morton. Brustevich surprised me. Surprises sounds negative. There was one play he made, that give and go with Sharon Govich at the blue line, that I thought showed tremendous poise, and he generated a really good scoring chance out of nothing by doing it. He's got some sick offensive skill as well, and I'm really looking forward to seeing him, you know, real soon in an NHL open. Look, I don't – you tell me, because I don't monitor the Wranglers that closely, other than points and standings and such. Was this a disappointing season for him, or a little bit slower in terms of his development? You tell me what the word is out of the Wranglers. You talk to those guys a lot.
Yeah, I think on the outside, I think that there's a little bit of disappointment, or there was a little disappointment early from some on the outside about, you know, maybe the offense wasn't translating as quickly with Brustevich as some had hoped. But I think internally they were A, expecting it to take a little bit of time, and B, are really, really happy with the progress he's shown. And they felt like him getting into this game, I know one of the things that they're really working on, I spoke a little bit with Wranglers GM Brad Pascal prior to the game. And, you know, one of the things that the Wranglers are really looking for is to get Brustevich to Like any young player, you know, learn that, hey, you need to find more gears. You need to find, hey, this is great and you're playing with good pace, but let's play with more pace. We need to, like, things ramp up over the year in the NHL. We got to get you to an even higher level of pace. And so I think that getting him into an NHL game and him seeing how these guys go and what level they're at in late April going into the playoffs, I think that for them was this is a really good learning experience for Hunter as he goes back for the American League playoffs. I think they're really happy. We had Craig Conroy on the show on Thursday, Eric, and he was raving about the growth that Brstevich has shown this year too. And so I think it was for some a little disappointing to see that it started a little slow offensively, but I think internally the expectation was it probably was going to start slow because here's a guy that kind of like Parekh has got some defensive limitations and it's going to take a little bit of time for him to learn the pro game. So I think the Flames are quite happy with the first year of Brstevich in a Flames uniform or Wranglers uniform.
You know, I remember talking to Ray Edwards in Penticton at the beginning of the year, and he was talking about that being, as you just echoed, you know, the thing they're talking to Brstevich about the most, because he was used to playing 28, 30 minutes a night in junior. And so when you're doing that, you can't be going balls to the wall all the time. When you get to the NHL, we're asking you to play maybe half that, and we need you to go a lot harder on those shifts. So harder, faster, but shorter. And so I could see that, you know, being something that they have to learn. I think it'll be the same with Parekh. Like, if he's out there, I really got the sense when I watched Parekh in Penticton and even a little bit last night, he makes it look like he's in a beer league game. Like, I don't see him, like, putting his head down and really busting his hump. But I'm not saying he has to. It comes so easy to him, and maybe that's the commentary here, is that he just makes it all look so easy. And, you know, so I do think there's another gear there for all these youngsters that they have to find just by playing in the NHL as early as next year.
Yeah.
So, I think all those guys. And, you know, Suniev, he only got one shot on goal. You know, he said during the intermission that he realizes he's going to have to get that shot off just a split second faster than he did, you know, in junior or college. And Coronado said the same thing, right? When Coronado came up, he had some chats with Iginla and some other people. He's just like, yeah, like, I know I've got this great shot, but I just need to get it up a fraction of a second quicker. And obviously Coronado learned that and scored 24 goals this year. So same thing with Suniev. Once he gets that timing, yep, figures it out, I do think he'll be, like, think about what this roster is going to look like on opening day. Like, I'm at the point, and we'll probably get into this later, but I'm not sure I want to see them sign. Like, I'm not sure if they should be active in the free agent market this summer. I really am not. If that center that they've been coveting is there somewhere, okay, go ahead, because they desperately need a more centerman. But I'm not sure anybody, like, there's no chance you sign an Anthony Mantha or that kind of signing next year. Am I wrong? You're not going to take a spot away from any one of these youngsters,
yeah,
who are in the organization right now. Combined with the guys that, like Klapka, he's an opening day guy next year, right? That revelation was pretty clear to me.
Yep.
I just don't know if there's any room for
Free agents out. I think you're bang on. I think the Flames have kind of been of the opinion, and Craig Conroy, I think, has been of the opinion that, yeah, we signed, we didn't know how close some of the young players were in camp 2024, which is why, you know, we signed a Bean, which is why we signed a Mantha, why we brought in even a Devin Cooley and a Lomberg. And Lomberg was more, what was a little bit more to it because of the leadership that he brings, and they really felt like they were missing that type of player. But, you know, and they, even Tyson Barrie as a PTO, I don't think we're seeing that this year. I don't think we're seeing the same type of spot fillers that we saw last year. I hate using that term because we're still talking about people, but that's kind of what they were. They were kind of point A to point B type players that they signed. I don't think we're seeing that this year. You know, Sam Bennett or somebody like that, different story. But of the more middle of the road, Further down the depth chart, UFAs, I think you're bang on, Francis, and I think it's going to make it hard. I think it's going to make it hard for them to re-sign some of their guys. I think both you and I are of the opinion that Justin Kirkland's coming back, and I think that they probably will go down that road, but I'd be surprised if Mantha, I'd be surprised if Hanley were coming back next year. I think that they're looking at trying to keep as many spots open as they can so that Zane Parekh, an Idar Suniev, a Rory Karens, or whoever else you want to pinpoint has a chance to make this group out of training camp, and that you don't maybe have to run into the situation like Matt Coronato came back into the lineup because Anthony Mantha's season came to an end. You know, you don't. I think maybe they would like to have some of these guys on the roster to start the regular season if they earn it in training camp. And I'm with you. Like my read is I don't think they're going to be a super active group in unrestricted free agency at all.
I don't want to I think so much depends on what they're going to do with Anderson. If they're able to re-sign him or decide they want to re-sign him and they can get a deal done at a price that they're comfortable with, then I'm definitely, you know, don't see them really going out and signing a veteran, you know, in free agency. If they lose Anderson, they're going to have to replace him, and it's probably not going to be with whoever you acquire in that trade. I may be wrong. We have to wait and see on that one, and that's a discussion either for later in the show or for another day, the Anderson discussion.
I think it's for later. I think it's for later in the show, young man.
Yeah, I think so, too. I do think that'll dominate the summer chatter for however long it lasts, one way or the other. But that would be about the only one I'd say you need another veteran on that blue line, whether it's Anderson or whether it's somebody you acquire in his stead. I still think you need that, given that you're a defensive-minded team. But anyway, we can get into that later. That's interesting. I hadn't had that discussion about free agency. Like, when I do radio hits for, like, SiriusXM and stuff, like national hits, when people want to talk about the team from 3,000 miles away, they're like, well, the Calgary Flames have $20 million to spend on the open. You know, who are they going to go get? And I said, I hope they don't get anybody.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the year to get it.
100%.
And I think far too many GMs in sport, not just the NHL, if they have it, they'll spend it. It's like payday, right? They're just like, I got it. I got to spend it. So weaponizing that and being patient, which is pretty much Craig Conroy's number one virtue as a GM, I think are so important. If Sam Bennett's available and you think there's a fit there and you can come up with a price, okay, maybe. I'm just throwing him out as an example because he's a center and they know who he is. Other than that, I'm not convinced this is the year to do it.
Yeah, same like Bennett, Rantanen, obviously not going to happen with the latter. But those were kind of the guys that I think maybe would have been the exception. But no, I think you're bang on. Well, okay, let's hold that thought on Rasmus Anderson. We'll dive in a little bit on that around the corner as we continue along on the Eric Francis Hour. Eric Francis of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, on Twitter at Eric Francis. He's with us all hour here on Flames Talk. And my name is Pat Steinberg. We're coming at you on this Friday from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Talking your team right now. Flames Talk is on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's the Eric Francis Hour on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us on your holiday Friday if you are listening live. And thanks for hanging out with us on the podcast as well. Steinberg Francis, Eric Francis on Twitter at Eric Francis from Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. All right, EF, this was your idea for the show. It's a good idea, but I just don't like to take credit for the good ideas if they're not mine. Rarely they are. Shockingly, we actually plan this show out. We don't just crack the mic and go. You said, hey, let's do one hot take for the off season. So let's do one hot take for the off season. Saturday is locker cleanout day, and that's kind of the official end of the regular season. And then all eyes will shift towards the summertime and training camp in September. You go first. I know what yours is, so I won't double up yours. What is your one hot take for the summertime?
Yeah, and I don't know if it's a hot take. Look, I'll just say, you know, I'm pretty convinced that Rasmus Anderson has played his last game as a Calgary Flame. And I don't think
anyone should misconstrue that as me suggesting for a second that he's not an important part of this team or that he had a bad year. I know a lot of people like to point to his plus minus, but I'll point to the shot blocking as a counter to that. I just think that this organization, look, this general manager made it clear from the day he took the job that he'll never let a UFA walk out the door again without, you know, cashing in on him. And I think that they're going to get a pretty good understanding this summer of what it would take to extend Rasmus Anderson in town. And I don't think that the Calgary Flames are going to be willing to pay that price. And again, I'm not down on Rasmus Anderson. I think he brings a ton of things, a ton of tangibles that are very important. And I think he was a big part of how this team was able to be one of the better defensive teams in the league this year. But I just think that the asking price or what his market value is or what his perceived market value is for him and his representatives is probably not going to match what I think the Calgary Flames are willing to pay for, you know, an 8-year extension. So I think that they will act quickly, and I think that he'll be traded, either before or after the draft. I know there are some people who think that's great, and some people think that's terrible. I'm not even going to say one way or the other. I just think that that's business, and I think that that's where they're going to be at.
Yeah, it's hard before I give you mine. Let's talk about yours for a little bit. I don't think it's crazy, man. I think there's a pretty decent chance, and I think Raz knows this as well, that with where the Flames are going for a guy that is going to be 30 when his contract kicks in, because he's 29, he'll play out. He's got 1 year left on his current deal, which has been one of the best value deals on the team for quite some time. Like, the appreciation I have for what Raz has done on this team, for how he's turned into a leader, for how much good work he's given the team over the term of this 6-year contract, for how he's developed into a guy who, you know, is now eligible and in the running to play for his country at the Four Nations and at this coming Olympics. Like, you know, Rasmus Anderson's a full-on success story in this organization. He's a second-round pick that turned into a bona fide top-two pair NHL defenseman. Good on him, and good on the Flames for seeing that. Good on Rasmus for, you know, remember some of the knocks that he had on him early on in his time with the Flames, the fitness and the conditioning and all the type of stuff that people were talking about on the outside and that they were challenging him with. He got on top of it, and he's turned himself into a key part of this team for the better part of the last half decade plus. So good on Raz. But the problem is, he'll be 30 when the contract kicks in, and he's going to be looking for a long-term deal, as he should. And I just don't know if the Flames and Rasmus, if that's the right fit. And he's coming off, you know, the season was an up and down one. And plus minus is very, very, very irrelevant to me. And yet it's hard to ignore the minus, but also just to take a look at the underlyings and the wild swings of consistency this year. I think if there's a shorter deal that the Anderson camp would be interested in, then I think that might make more sense for Calgary. But
agreed,
the long-term agreed. Eight, I don't know if it does. And if the Anderson camp is pushing for an eight, then I think that from a asset management standpoint, if you're the Flames and, you know, the good outweighing the bad or the risk outweighing the reward, I think that there's a pretty good chance they look at it and say, yeah, we understand what your contract asks are, and we don't even think they're crazy. We're just not there. And that's when a trade probably becomes the most likely scenario. He didn't play in game 82. He's been fighting through something, as we know, for quite some time. But I don't think it's crazy to think that we could see a trade this offseason at all.
Yeah, I think he's a warrior. And I think that the best way to put it is, I just don't think the timing works. The two are operating with a different kind of schedule in mind.
It's not all that different than Mangiapane last year, right? Like, it's not like they wanted Mange out. It's not like they were like, get this guy out of here. It was just where things were going and the fit, and like very similar. Like, it just, maybe things aren't aligning at this point for an extension.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Rasmus is a much more higher impact player than Mangiapane.
Very true. Yeah.
Ever was. But I know they're good friends, and it's an interesting comparison. Like, this is a second-round draft pick who like couldn't have turned out any better. Like you drafted him, developed him, you melded him into what he is now. And I do think he can get a 7-year deal. And I think, I think he'd be foolish if he didn't chase a 7-year deal. So if someone's not going to give you 7 or 8 years at the price you're, or anywhere close to the price you're looking for, the market value, I'd be very shocked if it was pretty clear right away that they're not going to make a deal and they move on separately. Like he's a huge asset. He's going to bring back a pretty hefty return. I really do believe from some teams that are just feel like they're a defenseman away from, being a contender. So yeah, it's no slight on him. And listen, I think he wears this a little bit. Like I thought it was very interesting what he said the other day when he talked about Calgary, and he does love it here. And I talked to his dad recently, and his dad was saying he loves it in Calgary.
Yeah.
He says, I don't know if he's going to stay, but I know that he loves Calgary, and I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed in Calgary. But when he said that 90% of the fans in this city are fantastic, that was a real veiled.
I don't think it was veiled. I mean, he's talked a lot about the Twitter monsters. I remember him sitting down with Wes and I. No, it was Vickers and I, not this past year, but the year before at the poker tournament, and him going through. He's like the Twitter monsters, and he's not a fan of some of the personal shots that can be taken on social media sometimes.
Yeah, and that's too bad because he's just an emotional guy, right? We've always known that after games, he's emotional. On the ice, he's emotional. And, I think that takes his toll too. So as he's sitting here weighing everything, he's thinking, a fresh start where no one's ripping into me from day one, maybe that would be something that would probably be best for me too. So I just think all the signs are pointing towards a parting of ways. And, there's a part of me that thinks it'll be kind of sad for the city and team because they did draft and develop him, and he is such an integral part of this team. But business is business, and you got to do what's best in terms of asset management. This organization didn't do that for a lot of years and paid the price. I think they're going to do the right thing again this year and cash in.
And he basically told you that, like, pump a little Francis tires here. When you had that chat with him mid-season, he basically said, like, I get it. Business is business. I only have so much control. I've got my X amount of teams on my no trade list. It's up to the Flames, and it's up to them. Like, he understands better than any. I remember him, same chat at the poker tournament. I remember him going on this, like, really interesting long answer about how, he doesn't care about if you're being critical. Like, he was talking about the media. He was talking about fans. Like, I get it. It comes with criticize me for how I play. Francis, Steinberg, Vickers, Wes, criticize me for how I play. Like, absolutely. That comes with the territory. And that is all fair game. You can say I was garbage last night. You can say that I was what was he doing making that pass? Or how did he get back to the net in time? Or whatever the things we would criticize him on. I said, that's all fair game. The minute you start going after me personally or what kind of hurt person I am or my family, or that's when it's out of bounds. But he gets it. He gets what goes into being part of the business. And I think if a deal does happen, and if he's not, if it's not a long-term fit with him and the Flames, I think it's a full-on no hard feeling situation. I think Raz understands business as much as anybody. I think he's an emotional guy, but I also get the sense that he's a really pragmatic, bright, smart guy. He knows what's going on. He knows what's being said. There might not be anybody inside that room who knows what is being said about his teammates and the team more than number four. And I always give him credit for it because he'll call you on it, but he'll do it in a very professional way. If he doesn't like what you said, he'll do it professionally. He'll make fun of you, but he's always there to answer your questions. He doesn't hold grudges. Like, the dude's a pro. I give that guy so much credit for the type of pro he's turned into.
Yeah, I agree. Now, okay, what's your hot take?
Okay. I think going to re-sign Dan Vladar. I think that we'll see Dan Vladar back for another 2 years, something like that. I think Dan Vladar should and will go out and see what type of situations are available for him elsewhere. Kevin Woodley, our goalie guru, brought up New Jersey as a really interesting spot. Jake Allen's going to leave. They don't trust Nico Daws. Jacob Markstrom's their guy for another couple years. Dan Vladar and Jacob Markstrom have a great relationship. Jacob Markstrom has trouble staying healthy, as we know. He's now, what, 35 years old? So the Vladar camp, him and Dan Milstein will know that there's a decent chance Markstrom will miss time next year. And so could Vladar go in and get more playing time in a place like New Jersey? Or is there a place like another spot in the NHL where maybe he could be closer to a tandem 1B than the clear number two that he'll be going forward in Calgary? He'll be behind Dustin Wolf on the depth chart permanently. I think we all agree with that. But I think after they explore their options, see what's out there, see what type of deals are on the table, I think him coming back for around the same dollar figure he's at right now, somewhere between $2-2.5 million on an AAV for a couple more years of security. He and Dustin Wolf developed a really good relationship this year. He'll get his playing time. It may not be as much as would be ideal for any player, but I think when it's all said and done, we'll see Dan Vladar back with the Flames next year. It's not like the hottest of hot takes, but I think it's the right move for the team, and I think it's something that is I'm expecting, or I'll be slightly surprised anyway, if Vladar doesn't re-sign back with Calgary.
Yeah, I like it. You know, I wrote that a couple months ago. I think they should and will. And, you know, Devin Cooley's play, down in the minors kind of really tapered off in the second half, albeit, you know, behind a decimated roster. But, you know, I think the way he was playing in the first half of the season, it was easy to say, yeah, never mind, next up, Cooley's the guy. He's the best goalie in the AHL. Well, he slowed down a lot, and I think injury had some of that to do with that. And you know what you have in Vladar. It'll be up to Vladar, though. But the interesting thing is the Flames will have the cap space. Look, they don't want to overpay for anybody ever. But given how much cap space they have right now, and I think will have going into next year as well, I think that even if you did overpay by $1 million a year, in your own mind, he's worth it in terms of the insurance he brings, the relationship he has, the way he was able to shield Dustin Wolf. I like it. I think it's a good take, and it's one that I 100% agree with. We're both on the same page with those two guys.
Yep. You know, it's funny as we start to wrap up. I also wonder if, you know, when Raz was talking about the 90% of Flames fans, if that was also a little bit of, because remember, that was going into the biggest game of the year. That was going into the Vegas game, and he was talking about the night. I wonder if he was also kind of taking a not so subtle shot at the team tank group. Like, here we are. We're about to, we could potentially punch our ticket to game 82 and a win an in-game in Los Angeles. And there are still people who want us to lose. I think there might've been a little bit of that going into where Rass was thinking as well. I think that was also part of the 90% or the 10% he was referring to, which leads us very nicely into just kind of your wrap here, Eric, as we wrap up the hour. 96 points, 41 wins. Boy, Had you told me the Flames are going to win 41 games this year, I would have told you they're going to make the playoffs, and that's way more than I thought they were going to make. They hit 41 wins when it's all said and done. Give us a wrap on the season and why Eric Francis thinks it was a successful year.
Yeah, I wrote a column about it the other day. That was a successful year because this year was never supposed to be measured in points. It was supposed to be measured in growth. Now, they ended up getting a hell of a lot of points and almost shocked the world and made the playoffs. That's a bonus. They won a lot of hearts over along the way. But along the way, they also established Coronado. Remember, earlier in the season, sent down to the minors for a couple of games. Came back, 24-goal scorer. He's going to be a 40-goal scorer in the National Hockey League, in my mind. Dustin Wolf, one of the top goalies in the league already. Certainly, you know, in the Calder conversation. And I just sent in my ballot, actually, and I put him number one. I get that. I think Luck.
Attaboy.
I think Hudson will win it, but I think Wolf should win it because of how important he's been to this organization, this team, this playoff push. But again, Hudson's a pretty good winner too. Klapka, a month and a half ago, we didn't know if he was going to be an NHLer. Now he's penciled in on opening night. There's no question in my mind. He's a right shot player who brings size, which they really desperately need both of. Kevin Ball's a first line guy. They didn't know who he was. Morgan Frost, I think, grew and grew and grew. Kirkland was a revelation this year. He'll be back with the team next year, no doubt in my mind. And then I'm not even talking about Kadri having a great year, Huberto bouncing back to a large degree, Uyghur establishing himself as the number one guy. Suniev is going to come in and challenge for a job. Parekh, well, I don't need to say any more about him. And then you've got all these other kids in junior. Henry Muse is going to Michigan. He had a huge year. Like, all the draft picks that they've been stockpiling, they're all building. A lot of them are really throwing together some incredible seasons. Gradin is having a great year. Like, there's so much next year for the Calgary Flames. Anybody sits here and tells me that that was not a colossal success this year just doesn't understand from where they were a year ago when they had to pick up the pieces from losing five cornerstones on their franchise. Kudos to the GM. Kudos to the players. And I guess the coach as well, but also just the veterans for establishing a standard, setting a tone, and showing the young guys how it's got to be moving forward. That's how a hybrid rebuild works.
The high build, trademark.
The high build.
Eric Francis.
That's right. I want some residuals on that.
I'm all over it. I'll sign the deal. Hey, get out of here. Enjoy Nikki Glaser and enjoy yourself, pal. Have a great Friday. We'll see you at the Dome on Saturday morning, pal.
Yeah. Thanks, pal. A lot of fun this year, and looking forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Yep, absolutely. Eric Francis of Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca wrapping up on this Friday, wrapping up the Eric Francis Hour, and wrapping up the Sports Drive. Thanks to Shan Virgie and Taylor Dingman, our outstanding producers in the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Did you know that barrier-free access doors are required for commercial entrances and public washrooms? Are you compliant? Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.